Radio Muse Indire
Independent Radio Exchange.
Radio Muse Network is part of the Indire project, which is co-funded by the Creative Europe program of the European Union.
Indire Journalist Residency Reportages.
In the north of France, there's a small village, seemingly stuck in the 19th century with its robust brick facades and windows adorned with arches. You could easily walk around the whole place in half an hour and there really isn't anything much to see besides a church dating around the late 700s and some flat but really mesmerizing scenery. Now imagine what happens if you gather up a team of locals and a lineup of bands and artists who are all more or less active in the extreme underground metal and punk scene and invite them to play at what is essentially an all-ages friendly festival with name your price entrance fee system. If your imaginative skills aren't as sharp, don't stress. The concept described previously is an actual festival with a simple name. Rock in Boulogne. We had a chance to sit down and talk to the very busy organizer and coordinator, Pierre Gauthier, who told us a shortened history about the festival.
So it just started as the zero edition, let's say, was from 2010. I was playing in a band back then, like a super small teenage band. And we just thought, like, okay, let's do a show in Bourlon in front of the bar, which is on the square by the church. So just like on a truck trailer, very like simple, and quite a lot of people came, actually more than I thought, and that was like the starting point. And then I thought, okay, let's try to do something every year. So from 2012, we moved in where we are now, on the what is the main stage area now, Abreuvoir Square, and we grew the festival from there. So it started as a one-day festival with free entrance, and from 2016 we added a campsite and a second day of festival, which really made the festival grow, and then this was like a step in the history of the fest. And yeah, I guess this is the second step. Like, we did 16, 17, 18, 19, which were kind of similar. And then we moved to that new formula with the second stage on the other square, and the show that just happened in the church, which is also a new thing. So yeah, the basic idea of the festival is to, like, have a very how to say that in English? I'm losing it. Like, very specific lineup, like very like niche, you know, but to open it to as wide audience as we can, to as many people as we can. So that's why it's the entrance is on donation, because then if you really like the band and you wanna support the event, you can put like 100 euros, for example. Like, I guess that would be the price for such a festival for 3 days. And some people that are not like specifically listening to this kind of music, like all the local people, they can still come, even if, you know, it's in the middle of the village. That's also a thing. So that's a way to open it to as many people as possible, basically.
Yeah. With this year's 10th edition, the festival took place from Friday the 24th of June to Sunday the 26th. There was initially 32 artists planned to make a stage presence, but unexpected flight delays and other travel complications resulted in quite a few unpredicted cancellations. However, the organizers managed to adjust the program very quickly and efficiently. The lineup was divided on two stages. You had the main stage, L'Abreuvoir, and the second smaller one, La Place. And on Sundays, visitors also had a chance to experience a really intimate performance, which took place in the previously mentioned Saint-Martin's church. Upon arrival, you were immediately met with a homey atmosphere, partially due to the weather, which was pleasantly fresh in contrast with the heat wave that was devouring Ljubljana at the time, but mostly because of the overall excitement and friendliness that was visibly shining on everyone's face. And you can easily, you could easily see that people were here to see and to listen to their favorite artists. Friday had the shortest lineup compared to the other 2 days. Festival opened its doors at 5 in the afternoon, and the first to play were Italy-based psychedelic noise duo Sneers. The biggest advantage of the smaller, lesser-known festival was also the fact that there were no lineup overlaps, which is really fucking cool. So the visitors therefore didn't have to make a close schedule and sacrifice not seeing a certain artist. After the concert was done at one location, you could take a short stroll through the village and enjoy the next concert. To get the overall vibe of the first day, let's take a break and listen to the two French groups that were playing on a Friday. This is going to be Cavalier and Saudit.
We'll be right back.
So the second day was the longest of all, naturally, and it was also one of the days with the most cancellations, with the most unexpected lineup changes. And Pierre said that this wasn't typical, but it didn't ruin the whole experience.
Yeah, this is unusual. But I mean, I think we were just the victim of something that was out of our control. And yeah, I mean, still, we managed to save some bands that had some cancelled flights, like Mesa, for example. So yeah, I'm of course sad that we had Though and Necromantheon and Maggot Heart cancelled, and oh, Today Midnight Goes Train. But yeah, I mean, they got COVID or the flights got cancelled. What can we do? I just prefer to see the bright side, that we saved some slots for bands that almost cancelled. Also, Devil the Yacht, who is setting up right now, we saved him like yesterday at 11 or something.
Next to the main stage at Le Brevoir was also an expo tent that was featuring some of the French underground graphic and tattoo artists. And then next to it, there was a bar serving alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages, and also a food stand. Vegan, cheese sandwich, or French fries, you had it all. One important detail that shouldn't be left without mentioning is that the food, beer, wine, and other beverages served there were in majority prepared and served by the residents of either Boulogne or nearby villages. And even in general, you could see the staff and the attendees chatting and greeting like they were long-term friends. There was a really strong sense of community and comradeship, which made someone who was visiting the festival for the first time feel very safe. And even during the later hours, when alcohol intake is much higher, you couldn't really see people act foolishly or invasive towards each other. Most of that energy was spent in the mosh pit either way. To get the general vibe of the second day, we listened to three French artists who performed on the smaller stage. It's going to be Lila Echia, Hit the City, Voters, Totem, and Sunster Uru.
Die. of lost souls. I came to speak in tongues and cheek to the holy shrine of beloved ones. I only came to hear thy voice. Take me with you, please, please, take me with you. You took that fall within the flesh.
So we're back in the studio, rocking Boglong, El Portage, and yeah, day three. But first of all, you could really see how, and hear of course, how each day tried to stick and keep up with a similar vibe. While Friday had a very orthodox metal feel, Sunday had a much more abrasive punk feel. Granted, you could still hear mostly artists representing doom and sludge subgenres. Sunday, as the last day of the fest, was much more mysterious and atmospheric, featuring a contrast between experimental metal bands and psychedelic or krautrock. While choosing the lineup and the bands, Pierre relies completely on his intuition.
I don't know, I know which direction I'm going to, but it's also depends on the offers that are around, which band is planning a tour, and then from what I get, I'm just thinking like, okay, so this band would fit here, and then, you know, I don't know, it's really hard to explain actually. I spend a lot of time doing the schedule actually, because I think it's really matters in a festival, especially here, how to like guide the, you know, the atmosphere basically.
One of the biggest inspirations for the festival is also Roadburn Fest, which takes place a couple of months earlier in Tilburg, Netherlands. Even though most of the bands that were playing at Roadburn also played in Boglong, there's still a major difference. Boglong doesn't try to be as big and is proud to be a countryside festival. While chatting to Pierre, we joked around that the fact and came up with the term Redneck Roadburn, and it does fit it very well. How will Rocking Boglong evolve? Only time will tell, but Pierre can offer us some answers.
What I can say is that this year was like a test with these new stages, with this new stage and also with the church, and it works, obviously. It works really well. I mean, the small stage is not like a remote small stage where no one is going. Like, people go there and shows there are actually really cool. The church was amazing. So it just makes us want to explore the village more and at least keep this setup for the next years, yeah, with the two stages and one or maybe another special performance in the church or maybe in another special location. Let's see what we can do. But yeah, I think this setup is for the next few years.
Good music, delicious food and drinks, and a lot of friendly folk. Rock in Boglong definitely had it all. The festival ended on an early Monday night with an encaptivating Toulouse band Slift. And it's only fitting to listen to them now, so this is going to be Slift with the song Dark Was Space, Cold Were the Stars.
Yeah.
There's always this sort of a specific feeling present when you leave a certain festival. Your brain can't really take it all in yet because so much has happened in such a short span of days. And that feeling is so much more intense when you're also leaving a country as well as the festival. Seeing your favorite bands live when it's a really memorable performance deepens your appreciation for them. Which, in my opinion, this village in northern France wasn't short of at all. This reportage for Indie Re Project was prepared by Julian Lauric from Radio Student in Ljubljana, Slovenia.
Radio Muse. Indire.
Independent Radio Exchange.
Radio Muse Network is part of the Indire project, which is co-funded by the Creative Europe program of the European Union.
Indire journalist residency reportages.